I really appreciate that scripture. When I read something like that, you know, giving thanks to the Lord, calling on His name, making known His deeds among His people. What a wonderful thing to remember about our Lord. You know, memory is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just for a second, try to remember your earliest memory. Do you have it? How quick was that? How long ago was it? Okay, memory is such a wonderful thing. I know that I believe my oldest memory came when I was about 4. So I'm like 55 years away, and I can call it up just like that. Memory allows us to remember things that happened when we were very, very young. But memory is also sort of malleable. It also goes away a little bit, doesn't it? Sometimes it's a good thing. I had the privilege of seeing both of my daughters being born. And if anyone thinks that women are not as strong as men, just go through that. But that pain goes away. The memory, you might remember it hurt, but I'm sure that pain goes away. Or else we would never have families with more than one kid. Memory is something that I use every day. We all do. At the end of every day, I like replay the day in my mind as I'm going to sleep. And I think of things that I could have done better, or I wanted to do better, and I wanted to change. If we didn't have memory, we couldn't recall things. Can you imagine what it would be like every day if you couldn't remember what happened the day before? How would you start a car? How would you get to work? Where would you go to work? How would you cook? Memory allows us to function. We're going to look at memory this morning a little bit as we see it in the Bible, as God has told us things to remember. Before we open up His Word, let's say a quick word of prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, as we open Your Word now, we ask that You remember us here. Send Your Holy Spirit to enhance our minds and our hearts. We ask that Your Holy Spirit can be here and make what we hear more relevant in our lives today. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever seen a herding dog? I should say, who's seen a herding dog? Who's seen them work? Right? The alpaca ranch right next to where Aunt Ruth used to live has a couple of herding dogs, and they take care of the herd of alpacas. Well, there's a story about a rancher who had a flock of sheep, and a visiting city dweller came out and was visiting the farmer. Farmer gives a whistle, and the dog runs out and gathers all the sheep up. And he gives another whistle, and he slowly moves it towards the pen. All the sheep go in. He gives a third whistle, and the dog comes back out and nudges the latch with her nose and shuts it. And then comes running right back to the rancher. The city dweller was amazed. He says, "Wow, that's some dog. What's her name?" And the forgetful rancher goes, he goes, "Oh, what is that real pretty flower? It's red. It smells really nice. Has some thorns." And the other guy said, "Oh, it's Rose." He goes, "That's right." He says, "Rose, what's the name of our dog?" And he couldn't remember anything. Well, we're going to look at remembering today because it's very pertinent. This weekend, our nation remembers our veterans. Specifically, it remembers our fallen veterans. You know, when I started preparing for this message, I realized that our country has 3 holidays for veterans. The first one is Armed Forces Day, and this is actually the 3rd Saturday in May. It was actually last Sabbath. And that's for all the armed forces who are still serving. It's to honor those that are still in the service. And then we have Veterans Day on November 11th, and that's for all that have worn the uniform in the past and no longer are serving. And then we have this weekend, Memorial Day, the last Monday in May, and this is to honor those who never got out of the uniform. Well, there's a couple of points I want you to take away as we study this about remembering and about memory this morning. First of all, think about why should we remember things in the Bible? Why should we remember what God is telling us? And what should we remember? And finally, how do we apply this in our lives today? In the Bible, and I studied the King James Version, there are 299 references to remember. Different variations of remember. Remember, remembered, remembrance, remembers. 299 references. That's basically 4.5 times that word is in each book of the Bible. 4.5 times. It's important that we remember different things in the Bible. And basically these references fall into 5 different categories. There's one where somebody forgot something and he remembered to pick up a tool. Okay. We're not going to talk about that this morning. There's a second category where someone is reminding us something that's important. A instance of that was in the verse that John read this morning, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 12. It says, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." David is writing that, and this is a psalm that he wrote when he was bringing the ark into Jerusalem, when he finally brought the ark in. It's one of the psalms that's not in the book of Psalms. The second category of remembrances is God calling to mind and confirming his actions and his promises. A great example of this is in Genesis 9, verse 15. Just after the flood, God says, "And I will remember my covenant, which was between me and you and every living creature of the flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Now, do you think God really needs to remember something like that? Do you think God needs to remember? Do you think he can forget? Well, we're going to check that out in a little bit. But he's doing this for us. He's confirming and reaffirming for us what he is remembering. He's saying, "You can count on me because I am remembering that I'm not going to destroy the world in flood anymore." And there's many instances of that where God is speaking of himself and things that he will remember throughout the Bible. There's another category where God is reminding us of something, where he's telling us to remember something. Can anyone give an instance of that? Sorry? Right. Exodus 20 verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." God is telling us to remember something like that. That's obviously an easy one. I had another example in Isaiah. It says, "Remember the former things of old." God is telling, through his prophet Isaiah, the people who were apostatizing, they were idolizing, along with the people in the neighborhood. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." God is able, many times in the Bible, he tells us to remember different things. Is he doing this just to give us rules? He's telling us to remember things for our own good. That's what he wants. And finally, there's a case of us, me, reminding God. And this is actually one of the most prevalent instances in the Bible. In 2 Chronicles 6, verse 42, Solomon is saying, "O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant." In Psalms, David writes, "Lord, remember David and all his afflictions." You know, if you search in the Bible, if you have a good concordance or if you have a great app on your phone, Search for remember me. And it comes up at least 14 times. People say to the Lord, remember me. Remember me, as if God would forget. Can you think of an instance where somebody told our Lord or asked our Lord to remember them? Thief on the cross, just before he perished, he came out with that prayer. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So we have different categories of things that we need to remember or we're admonished to remember. But why should we remember what Jesus has done for us? Now, before we get into that, think back on your memories. What do you typically remember? Do you remember little things or big things? Primarily, you know, especially as we get further away from them, we remember little things, right? I mean, big things. If I walked out and I gave someone 5 nickels, is that going to make much of an impression on anybody here? Now, if I did, which I don't, but if I had 5 $100 bills and I gave them to somebody, would that make an impression? Would you remember that? Probably, right? See, we tend to remember the big things that happen. If I think back on my memories when I got married, I remember standing at the altar and waiting for my wife to walk down the aisle, not down the aisle, but around to the end of the aisle. A couple months ago, my daughter was home and we were looking at some of our wedding pictures. And I can remember my wife standing back there about to walk. You know, they're about to start playing the music. I was looking at the wedding pictures and I didn't know half the people there. I was like, who is this person? You know, so we remember the big things, the important things. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to remember the big things. When we go through the Bible and you see God saying, remember this, it's a big thing. It's something that is important and he wants us to remember. If you go back to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is a book that in which Moses is doing two things. He's giving a lot of the laws that were told to him, not the Ten Commandments, but the rest of the laws, some of the dietary laws and the ceremonial laws. But also in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives his farewell message to the people of Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy itself, the word remember is over 14 times. 14 times Moses tells the people of Israel to remember something. Chapter 8, verse 12, it says, all the commandments which I have commanded this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to provide and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Now, when Moses is giving all this instruction and his final message, where are the people of Israel at this time? They're right on the River Jordan. They could look across and see the promised land. They could see it. Moses knew he was not going to be able to go, but all the other people knew it. So why was Moses doing so much work trying to get them to remember? How many of those people that he was speaking to had actually seen the miracles? Sorry? How many had seen the cloud that came down when Pharaoh and his army was coming to destroy them? Only two. Well, three of Moses, right? Caleb, Joshua, and Moses. Aaron was passed. Only three. Those people had not seen the miracles, that miracle. They had not seen the waters part and walking through there. They had not seen Moses striking the rock and getting water. Now, they had seen a lot of manna, and they had seen God's protection for 40 years. They'd seen that their clothes didn't wear out. They'd seen that they had gotten enough to eat and enough to drink. So they'd seen some of his miracles, but not all of them. And Moses wanted to remember, or to make sure that the people, as they're going into the promised land, remember that God was faithful, that he provided for them, that he gave them everything they needed. Because the original witnesses to those miracles were gone. They couldn't tell them directly, I saw this. I walked through the Red Sea and saw it. So they had heard about it from their parents, but they weren't there. What about us? Do we have firsthand accounts to the miracles that came at Jesus' life? No. Which is why the Lord is telling us time and again to remember these things, like Moses was telling to the people of Israel. We need to read about it and recall it and remember it. But God remembers everything. We talked about that a minute ago. Is this a little frightening when you think about this? That God remembers everything about you and everything you do? But does he remember everything about you? Well, he certainly remembers us personally. Isaiah 45:19 says, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Our Heavenly Father knows us personally. He knows us as we know our children and as we care for our children. And he doesn't forget anything, not even our pain, not even our trials. In Psalms, David writes, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Can you imagine when we're going through trials, difficult times, God is there to catch our tears and bottles them up. He knows the pain we're going through. He knows the trials that we're going through, and he's there for us. But praise God, he does have a selective memory, doesn't he? Jeremiah 31:34 says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all should know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more. When we approach our Heavenly Father, when we confess our sins, when we ask for forgiveness, he doesn't say, well, I don't know about that. I'm gonna have to think about that a while. He says, what? He says, what? It's gone already. You know, there's a story about a young girl who was, she told a church that she was having visions. And in her visions, she got to see and communicate with Jesus. And the church fathers were very concerned. They're trying to decide, is this real, her visions, or not? And so they went through a bunch of tests, and they really still couldn't figure out if it happened, because it happened when she was sleeping. She would go to sleep and have these dreams and converse with what she thought was Jesus. So finally, one of the elders said, I've got it. She said, and he talked with the young girl and said, next time, ask Jesus, what was the sin I confessed last night? And so the next morning, they brought the girl in, and they said, did you speak with Jesus last night? And she said, yes. And the elder said, what was the sin that I confessed last night? And she said, Jesus said, I don't know. I don't know. All of our sins are completely forgiven. They're gone as far as the east is to the west. So what should we remember? Well, first of all, as the scripture this morning talks about, we should remember all the good that the Lord has done for us. Psalms 42:4-5, it says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. When we look around at all the ways that the Lord has blessed us, how can we be down? You know, you might think, well, I'm struggling with some financial problems, or I'm struggling with school, or I'm struggling with my job, or I'm struggling with my health. But as long, and we mentioned this in the Sabbath school, as long as we have breath, it's not too late. We have a chance to go before the Lord. As long as we have breath, things can be better in our Lord. And even if it's not, what is 60 or 70 years to eternity? And when we get there, things will be made right. That is a promise from our Lord. Reflect on God's gifts. What should we remember? Think of all the things that he's done for you in your life. We should be able to speak passionately about what God has done for us. Think about your own conversion process. I was not always an Adventist, and there was a switch at one time that I changed. And I remember distinctly talking with our pastor, and I'd read and I'd seen people that have, you know, just a complete binary change in their lives. And they just erupt with the love of Jesus. And I was talking with our pastor. I said, I love Jesus. I don't have that experience, you know, that other people have had. And I said, I don't know, you know, if Jesus is working in my life. And he said, think where you were a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. Has you changed? And the answer was, incredibly, I've changed. And I realized it wasn't me that was changing, but it was the Lord who was changing me. And when we realize things like that, we can tell other people about that. If I'd stayed the way I was in high school, in college, most likely I wouldn't be here right now. I'll just say that. Well, I know I wouldn't be here right now if I hadn't changed, right? But I might not even be alive right now. Can we claim to be, you know, B.C. and A.D. Christians? Can we explain to somebody our life before Christ and our life in the year of the Lord? If we can, that's what we should remember, what he's done for us, how he's changed us, and what we can do. And once we can, then we should want to tell our stories. We should want to tell other people about what he's done for us. We should also remember the promises, all the promises that he has in the covenant. Jeremiah 31:33 says, "But this covenant that I make, I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is a promise from our Lord to write his law in our hearts, and this is what we need to remember. So what difference does this all make if we know all this? If you hear this, what difference does it make in your life? How do we apply it to our life? First of all, I encourage you to spend some time each day remembering what God has done for you. At the start of this year, I actually had a message about glory and looking around for the glory of God and seeing the glory of God in nature and in people around us. Make this a habit. Make this a habit. Thank people, or thank God for all that he does for us each and every day. The more you thank him, the more you have that spirit of appreciation, the more you will see all that he's done for you. And the second thing is, I encourage you to pray using that remember me paradigm. David went to the Lord and said, "Lord, remember me. Remember me." If we go to the Lord so often in my prayer life, I will be praying and I'll say, "Lord, please help me in this instance. Please help me this." And what I'm doing is I'm actually asking, I'm sort of prescribing to the Lord what I would like to have done. But by going to the Lord and saying, Lord, remember Ron, I'm having trouble here. I don't know how to get out of it, but remember me, because I know that you have my best interests in mind, and you're going to take care of it the best way. When we go to the Lord in prayer like that, it sort of takes a little of the focus off of the prayer. It's no longer me sort of telling God what I would like to have, but it's me going to God in humility saying, remember me, I'm in trouble here, I need your help, but whatever happens, I'm going to trust you still. It shows our humility, and it keeps us from asking so many things that we probably don't need anyway. So let's go back to that one thing that the commandment tells us to remember. Remember the Sabbath day. As I was researching for this message, I went online and I was looking at articles on remembering. And this sort of ties it back into Memorial Day. There was a secular article that I pulled up, and it said, step up your Memorial Day remembrances and celebration. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. What would you do to make your Memorial Day celebration a little more meaningful? Think about this, and how does it sound? There are 5 steps that they encouraged you to take. Number 1 was mark the day in remembrance. Spend some time with others recounting those who have fallen and what they did while they were alive. As we think about the Sabbath, should we mark the day in remembrance? Spending time with others, recounting the one who has fallen and what he did while he was alive. The second thing, they said, start planning for Memorial Day in advance. Should we start planning for Sabbath in advance? I couldn't believe these. These were like how to celebrate the Sabbath. The third thing was volunteer for activities and celebrations on that day. The fourth thing was encourage family members and friends to commemorate that day with you. And the last one was take part in official ceremonies on that day. As I read that, I was struck at how that could be, you know, take that word, you know, Memorial Day remembrance, Memorial Day out and put Sabbath Day in there. Step up your Sabbath day remembrance and celebration. The Sabbath day is, obviously, it's the only commandment that we're told to remember. But by honoring the Sabbath day, by stepping up our remembrance and celebration of our Sabbath day, we step up our celebration and our remembrance of our Lord as the Creator, as the one who created us, who gave us this day so that we could be more together. You know, across the U.S., we have all kinds of memorials for things that we need to remember. We have statues. We have cemeteries. We came from San Diego. And when you're out on the San Diego Bay, you can see Rosecrans Cemetery. You can see all the nice, neat rows of headstones up there. Of course, the largest one is in Arlington. And there's a tomb even of the unknown soldier. We want to remember those we can't even identify. But I was thinking about this week as my wife took a trip to South Dakota. And on her way back on Tuesday, anybody remember what happened Tuesday? A little bit of snow. My wife is driving back from South Dakota, where the weather was worse than here. And she was going by Mount Rushmore, probably one of the largest in size memorials that we have in the United States. And as she was driving, it was here. I remember on Tuesday morning, I woke up and I texted my wife. I said, we're in a cloud. If you know where we live, you looked out and I couldn't see anything because it was so foggy. And I said, we're in a cloud. I could see the snow, okay, but I couldn't see any of the road or the houses. Well, she was driving driving back, and the weather was very similar. It was very cloudy. It was very foggy for most of her trip. It was snowing. As she got a little further south, it started raining, I believe. But she actually wanted to see Mount Rushmore. And so she drove by that way, and Mount Rushmore was closed. And so she drove by it, and, you know, because they were getting dumped on, a lot of snow. And there was a park ranger out there just directing people off. You couldn't even pull into the parking lot. So she drove by, she took a picture of the empty parking lot, you know, to show me that she actually tried to go to Mount Rushmore. And when we got home, when she got home that night, she was showing me their pictures. And, you know, through the fog, you know, she shows me this picture of an empty parking lot, but there's this fog right behind it. But as we started zooming in on this, you could see a face. You could actually see some of the faces of Mount Rushmore. You know, I thought about that, and I thought about our first view of God when we first come to Him. How often is it foggy? But the way to clear that fog is to get a little closer and to zoom in. We need to remember that we can zoom in. We can get closer to God. He's not the one pushing us away. We're the ones that are turning away from Him. In closing, I just wanted to go back to the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, we talked about what to remember and what we should be doing. And it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord God require of thee but to fear the Lord God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and serve the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." This is what our Lord wants us to remember. Draw close to Him by walking in His ways, loving Him, and serving Him. As we do that, that picture of God will get in more and more focus and clearer to us as we go along. You know, we all have memories of things that have happened to us in our lives. And someday we might be able to talk to each other about some of those memories. But we'll also be able to make new memories. And think about the memory we're going to have when everybody wakes up and we see people we haven't seen in years and we're all caught up together. What a memory that will be that we can talk about forever.